Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God radio program with me, Tom Meglia, your financial planner with The Face for Radio. How are you? Gosh, it's a great Saturday. We're back on doing the program, Knowing the Economy of God. And I'd like to welcome you. I'm Tom Meglia, financial planner, chartered financial consultant, accredited estate planner, registered investment advisor with the Masters of Science in Financial Services. Hope you're having a great day. And I want to introduce you and welcome you to the program. And I call it Knowing the Economy of God. It's fun. I enjoy it. It's God's Word. It's the Bible. And we're here to examine it and to learn how to apply it in our normal and everyday life. And that's what this program is. This program is a teaching and application program about God's Word in the area of finance, economics, business, stewardship, these kinds of things. As a financial counselor for Crown Ministries, I also coach people in their budgets and their financial game plans, learning how to set up a financial plan, create a plan, attain it, and find what their goals are in life with God's direction, all through the Word, the Bible. And that's what we do as financial counselors. So welcome to the program, and I'd like to talk to you more about just what the economy of God is. I've been working on a book through my 27 years of being a financial counselor in the Christian community. I go around to churches talking about God's economy and visiting with people one-on-one and encouraging them through enthusiasm. I'm enthusiastic about it because I love it. I think it's great. God's Word, the financial areas of life, and all putting Christ as Lord and Savior and doing what God would have us to do. Dying to ourselves and being alive in the Lord, in obedience to God in the area of finances. And the economy of God is my term based on what I believe the Bible says about finances, about business, taxes, stewardship, giving, all the different areas and economic principles that are outlined in the Bible for us to live by, because the Bible is a book that is applicable for today. It is applicable for tomorrow, and it's applicable for the future. And so we want to live by the Word. And that's my goal, my calling by God is to encourage people to live by the Word, live by faith, and do what God says to do. You know, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah says God's ways and means aren't ours, and they're way above ours, way different than ours. Humans don't think like God. God doesn't think like a human. His systems are pure and victorious and perfect, and we need to do what he says, and that's the encouragement. And so the economy of God talks about everything imaginable in the area of money and finances, and also how relationships intertwined in money and finances and stewardship and economic terms from God's perspective. And that's what it is. Now, inside what I've written in the book, which will be coming out in a few months, Knowing the Economy of God, it's at ACW Press. We're working on getting it published right now. And it'll be on our website at some point. The website is theeconomyofgod.com. And by the way, before I forget, you know that harp music in the background? That's our friend Bonnie Moore from Monrovia, California. Her music is terrific. It sets the mood and the tone for worship and to honor God with his principles. And you can hear more of Bonnie's harp music at her website, BonnieHarpsong.com, BonnieHarpsong.com. So as we travel through God's economy from Genesis to Revelation, one of the things that I have been speaking about for the last couple of months is ownership, how God is the owner of everything. That's a main and major economic principle. In fact, it's one of the four anchors that I believe make up God's economic systems or his economy. The other three, besides God being the owner, is we are the steward or manager, and that giving is the natural and first order of stewardship. and we are to learn to become content. Those are the four anchors. All the principles flow and fall under those four anchors in the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God is the owner, we're the steward. Giving is the first and natural order of stewardship. And contentment is what we strive to become and to be. So when we talk about different attitudes about money and God being the owner, I've been speaking about that for a couple of months now. There's two worldly attitudes regarding money that I think are worth mentioning. Worldly attitudes, not God systems, but humans. One, keeping God out of things. Keeping God out of things. And number two, our ego, or ourselves, is supreme and should rule. Our ego is supreme and we should rule or do what we want to do. Those two worldly attitudes are tough. A lot of times they flow into Christians' thinking about money and business and finance. And we need to work against those. We need to combat those two things with God's word and God's principles. Now, when I teach God's economy, there's four parts to the recipe to learning each principle. One, cite the scripture. Number two, state the economic principle. Number three, practical application to normal living. And four, the prayer of change. Without God, it isn't going to happen. We need to pray and ask God to change us to live like He would ask us to live. So that's the four-part recipe in my teaching to understanding each individual principle of God's economy. Again, the four parts: cite the scripture, state the principle, apply it or application to normal living, and number four, the prayer of change. So when we talk about ownership, let me bring out some scriptures for you, and I hope you enjoy these scriptures. I think they make a lot of sense, and I think they're terrific. Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, for He founded it upon the oceans and established it upon the waters. Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. 1 Chronicles 29:11-12, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. Those are some powerful and terrific verses, aren't they? About God being the one and true owner, the only owner of everything. And we need, in the economic principles, explaining the principles, we need to give control to God. We need to surrender ownership and control to God, because He really is the true owner, not us, not even a little bit. God is the owner. And the fact that He's the owner gives Him the right to demand accountability from us. That's another economic principle I think that's very important. He's the owner, so He can demand and will accountability from us for what we've done with His resources, talents, relationships, time, money, resources, finances, everything. And sin, there's a sin here. Sin is not giving up ownership or thinking that God isn't the one and only true owner of everything. And it's very, very important we remember these things. We have to understand them if we're going to get a good handle on our finances as Christians. If we don't do what I'm referring to here, we are in sin. We are not going to have a good handle, a peaceful handle on the situation. We must release ownership to God, my friends, because He's the only owner. Okay, the only owner. And when Jesus Christ is our Savior, we also want to make Him our Lord of all parts of our life, especially the financial areas of our life. Now, can there be two owners? Nope. Only one. Can't be two, regardless of what our brokerage statements say or real estate statements. Uh-uh. Just one. But do I believe that I'm the owner? Do I talk on the left side and say, well, God's the owner? On the right side, nah, not really. I'm the owner. So what we believe in our mind and hearts says what we really think, and what we do displays what we really believe, what we do. So it's important that we submit control of our finances to God. What we do with our finances, in my mind, and our time and talents, says what we really believe about who is the true ultimate boss, me, you, or God. Now, God always forgives and gives us encouragement. The grace is there to keep on trying and make changes towards trusting Him and obeying, and that's important. And the blessings are going to follow. When we obey God in His economy, the blessings will follow. Are they tangible? Can we see them? Financial blessings? Maybe not. It's up to God. He knows best. He'll decide what kind of blessing's best for us. And after the break, we'll talk more about ownership and get into another economic principle. We're launching today into a new principle under ownership called restitution. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Welcome back. We're talking now about restitution, another interesting economic principle that the Bible talks about inside God's economy. And restitution is part of the ownership anchor, where we're saying God is the owner. And since He is the owner, when it comes to restitution, we need to obey Him and make things right. Now, let me tell you a little bit about restitution, okay? Leviticus 6, chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. The Lord said to Moses, "If anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving his neighbor about something entrusted to him, or left in his care, or stolen, or if he cheats him, or if he finds lost property and lies about it, or if he swears falsely, or if he commits any such sin that people may do, when he thus sins and becomes guilty, he must return what he has stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to him, or the lost property he found, or whatever it was that he swore falsely about. He must make restitution in full. Add a fifth of the value to it and give it all to the owner on the day he gives his guilt offering." Interesting passage. Really is. Notice about restitution. When someone does wrong, let's say they find lost property. Oh, I never found the property, but they found someone else's property and kept it and said they didn't. There's restitution to be made. and to add 20% or a fifth of the value as a penalty and give it back to the owner. That's the economic principle in Leviticus. How about Luke 19, verse 8 and 9? Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham." So Zacchaeus said he would, interesting, he will give half of his possessions to the poor. And if he's defrauded anyone of anything, he will give back 400%, 400%, four times as much as what he had defrauded anyone out of. The economic principle here, friends, is restitution. And restitution is defined in Webster's dictionary as an act of restoring or a condition of being restored to the rightful owner. And if the Holy Spirit is living inside us, we are not going to be able to enjoy ill-gotten fruits. Okay, let me say that again. If the Holy Spirit is living inside us, we're not going to be able to enjoy ill-gotten fruits. That unrest in our hearts, my friends, is evidence that our conscience has not gone numb. Okay, because we're upset about it, we're tossing and turning. Our conscience has not gone numb. That's how I view it. As a result of this prompting, we're to repay what we have cheated plus extra. That's kind of like a pain and suffering reimbursement for the person who endured harm. Zacchaeus repaid 400%. And we too should go the extra mile to make things right. You know, in God's economy, we need to say we are sorry and ask forgiveness of the offended party. We need to reconcile with people just as we do with God when we sin. That's what God tells us to do. First, we confess, then we repent. And lastly, we ask for forgiveness. This principle, my friends, teaches us to go one step further and restore what was lost. That's how we manage finances. That's how we handle God's economy. We must restore and reconcile. Restore and reconcile. For example, if we use a coworker's supplies without asking and he gets upset, God's economic systems show us that we need to replace what we used and then patch up the relationship we may have torn apart with a coworker. Or if we use a realtor to take us all around the town looking at houses, but all inside our minds we're thinking we'll never use this realtor when it comes time to buy. But we're using their time because we know that they don't charge to talk or drive us around to look at homes, that kind of thing. But we never have an intent of using their services. That basically is stealing. And we need to restore, we need to reconcile with that individual. Very important. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Ready for this? "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Avoiding confrontation, friends, or hiding from somebody is not God's way, not God's economy. It's no way to solve things. Doesn't fix a problem. Avoidance does not bring healing or victory. It only prolongs the uncomfortable situation at hand. Now listen up. Restoring relationships and repaying what is owed always brings a huge amount of peace to our hearts. No more sleeplessness. No agonizing confrontations, no seeing someone at church and walking the different direction not to say hello to them or not to make eye contact. Yeah, have you ever done that before? Uh-oh, there's so-and-so at church. We had a conflict. Let's walk the other way. Don't make eye contact. That's not what God wants. Confess and repent today if you have any outstanding debts with anybody. Put things back in God's proper order and learn from this. It's a learning thing. That's what we need to do first. It's very important. And that's what the Bible is telling us to do. You know, the word is commanding. It's very critical here that we learn about restitution. And restitution can be for a lot of different things. It can be we were given too much money back when we purchased something from a retailer, and we knew we were given too much money back, and we walked away knowing that we took money we shouldn't have and we paid less for a product than we should have. It can be anything. So it's very important that we learn in God's economy that since he's the owner and there's a principle called restitution, that we listen and obey him. Now, let me tell you about application, a story. Okay, it's time to tell a story. Story time. My kids like that, at least for the first 5 minutes before they walk away. But, you know, let me tell you about Mike and Maureen. Now, that's not their real names. We change the names to protect the innocent, but we sometimes bring up real stories. Obviously, we do bring up real stories, but we don't say people's true names for obvious reasons, just kind of like the old TV show Dragnet. Remember that? Back in the 70s, Dragnet. So this was a very interesting situation about restitution. Mike and Maureen were married about 11 and a half years, and they were getting a divorce. Really ugly situation. Mike was very controlling about the money and the finances, so controlling that he hid assets and hid valuables from Maureen. Not a good thing. So when they went through their divorce, she was trying to find out, you know, just what the situation and circumstances look like. You know, California is a community property state, and she was entitled to half, and he was not being forthcoming. He was trying to hold back about 15% of the entire net worth that they had accumulated together. And that's a form of extortion or stealing. And long story short, Maureen's lawyer finally found out about it. Mike was confronted. He just felt like it wasn't right. He felt like he had earned most everything and he deserved it. But the law said different. Community property states basically say everything you've earned except by gift or inheritance from the moment you got married to the very day you split up is half each spouse. But Mike was holding back on all kinds of things, camera collections, baseball card collections. He had a lot of cash stashed away. He had kept some things at his mother's house, all kinds of things. Finally, after about 2 years after the divorce became final, it just got to him. And so he made peace. He went back to Maureen. Even though her lawyer tried to discover things, the lawyer was unsuccessful in some matters. In certain areas, the lawyer did dig up things, but in other areas, he wasn't able to find it because Mike basically just hid it. But Mike came clean. He apologized to Maureen. He confessed and repented of that sin of stealing. Even though he felt like he had earned it, and he made good on it, and he reconciled with Maureen about that and other issues, and basically he was sorry. God forgave him. He's a work in progress like all of us. He changed. He said he would never do that again, and I believe him. But he really went through a lot of tough times during that divorce. It was very difficult, and it's sad. Both were Christian people, our Christian people. And he just felt like he needed to get the upper edge on her. So that did work out. He finally came clean and paid back and even did something over and above to return and restore to her what he had taken. Kind of like lost interest or opportunity cost that she would have made on those monies and assets. Now listen, give me a call, 800-386-3700. Let's get together for a financial plan. Let's put God's economic systems to work for you, to bless you, and for you to follow what God would say through the word. I'd like to pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray for each person listening today that them and myself would just submit to you, Lord, obey and to trust you with your word, your economic systems, your economy, Father God, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day. We'll see you next week. Give me a call. Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. God bless.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.